Chapter 4.
Man, who she thinks she is? Said Jamar at Nye's car wash the next morning. Lionel had left for work without even talking to Dad, though he heard him snoring as he passed his parents' bedroom when he went to take a shower. Lionel had just explained to Jamar everything that happened in Mrs. Henley's class. Jamar had quit school in the middle of his junior year.
I'd have been like, you need to get out of my face if you know what's good for you, Jamar added as they cleaned the inside of a silver Lexus.
Felix, another worker, was carefully drying the hood.
I almost said that to her, Lionel admitted.
You should have, Jamar replied. What's she know? Ain't no poem that matters when you're out here. I'll tell you what matters. This, he whispered, taking a handful of change from a compartment in the car's dashboard and sliding it into his pocket.
Lionel looked away. He hated when Jamar took money from people, but he couldn't stop him. At least he only did it to people who disrespected him or had expensive cars.
Hey, anyone who can afford this car ain't gonna miss a little change, he'd said the last time Lionel complained.
Jamar lived a few blocks away with his two older cousins. He'd moved in with them when his grandparents kicked him out for quitting school.
I'm serious, Jamar continued. I've been out of school for over a year now, and I don't miss it one bit. No more getting up early or sitting in some boring class. Now I get paid for what I do instead of wasting my time dealing with teachers getting on my nerves. I'm not having that no more.
Jamar sounded as if he was boasting, like guys on the court who didn't have the skills to back up their words. But Lionel liked what he was saying. If he quit school, he wouldn't have to worry about Mrs. Henley, and he could play basketball whenever he wanted. Sure, he'd lose the chance to play for Blueford, but he could still play for the summer league until he was 18, and by then he'd be old enough to try out for the NBA. It made sense, except there was no way Dad would allow it.
I gotta say, that sounds nice, Lionel admitted.
So quit, Jamar suggested. I told you before. I don't know why you still go to Blueford. What's the point?
I can't quit. My dad would throw me out in 2 seconds if I dropped out. And my mom would scream so loud, I bet I could hear her from here, Lionel explained.
So what? Let him yell. Check this out. If your pops kicked you out, you could stay in my crib with me and my cousins. We got room. I'm serious.
Lionel's mind was spinning. In a way, the idea was perfect. It made everything simple and easy. Dad would be mad, but so what? He was hardly home anyway. And by the time Mom got back, Lionel figured he might be playing pro basketball, making enough money so that both his parents could retire.
Man, don't listen to his nonsense. He's just trying to drag you down with him, cut in Felix, wiping the outside of the car's door with a fluffy white towel.
Lionel had almost forgotten he was there.
What do you mean? Lionel asked.
He ain't being real with you, that's what I mean, Felix said. This ain't no picnic. Trust me. I've been here 3 years now, starting to get kind of tired, you know what I'm saying?
Ain't nobody asking for your opinion, Jamar said, closing the doors of the Lexus and wiping away the smudges his fingerprints had left behind. Me and Lionel are talking, not you.
Nah, you ain't talking. You're just blowing smoke like always, and I'm calling you out, he snapped, turning to Lionel. Look at me. I dropped out 3 years ago. It's been 3 long years, and I'm still here. Working with kids like you. No disrespect, but there ain't no going up from here. If I could go back to school, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But I can't afford to, he said, pausing while he scrubbed a stubborn streak on the windshield. It's funny. When I was a kid, I dreamed I'd own my own Lexus. Now I'm driving someone else's,
Felix continued, shaking his head.
Don't listen to him, Al. He just mad because his girlfriend's pregnant.
Lionel stepped back, shocked at the news.
He's right, Felix said, glaring back at Jamar. She is pregnant, and this job's not making me enough to pay the bills. I'm actually thinking of joining the army. I heard you know something about that, Lionel.
Lionel felt as if his head was about to explode. There was too much news, too many choices, too much chaos. It was like jump ball at the start of a basketball game, only there were 1,000 arms fighting for the ball, and the game was meaner than anything that happened on the court. It all made Lionel dizzy. He wished he could just get away and find a quiet space where he wouldn't have to think about school, Felix's words, or anything else. Instead, Felix was staring at him, waiting for a response.
Well, what you think?
He asked. Behind them, a growing line of cars stretched halfway around the block, their drivers glaring impatiently. One of them, a man in a smoky Mercedes, beeped his horn twice.
That dude's change is mine, Jamar mumbled. Man, I don't know if you want to do all that. My mom still ain't back yet,
Lionel said to Felix, feeling a wave of resentment at what his home had become since she left.
How you going to raise a kid if you ain't there?
Come on, guys, hurry up. This is a car wash, not a parking lot, cut in Mr. Nye, their boss. All three of them grabbed some clean towels and rushed to the next car, letting the conversation die. But for the rest of the day, Lionel kept thinking about Jamar's advice. No matter what Felix said, the idea of quitting school was tempting. The low grades, the never-ending tests, the impatient stares from teachers, the uncomfortable feeling of being behind everyone else, all of it would finally be over.
You really got room in your crib?
Lionel asked Jamar at the end of the day as they waited in line to get paid.
Man, that's what I've been trying to tell you, he replied. Come on, let's go there right now so you can see how we living.
With the sun setting overhead, Jamar led him up several blocks to 43rd Street. Then they made a left and walked up to a single-floored red house surrounded by a rusted iron fence. There was a break in the fence where a gate once stood. Its busted hinges stuck out like broken teeth in a ruined smile. Wedged against both sides of the fence were bits of trash, plastic bottles, and a grease-stained paper bag. Inside was a small yard of burnt-out grass and a single ancient rose bush spiked with thorns, as if it was trying to protect itself. Behind it sat a dented trash can half full of beer bottles and buzzing with flies. Jamar opened the door to a blast of rap music. Lionel recognized the track, one he used to listen to before each basketball game over the summer.
Ain't wasting time on no haters. Ain't waiting, it's now, not later. On the court, they call me the mayor. Give me the ball and watch me slay ya.
Cool, Andre's here, Jamar said. Come on in.
They stepped into a cluttered living room with a blotchy beige carpet. A sagging green couch sat just a few feet in front of a color TV. Next to it on the floor was an old silver boombox the size of a small suitcase. An end table held crumpled fast food wrappers stained with ketchup that looked more like dried blood. The thick scent of marijuana smoke hung in the air. Sitting on the couch was a guy Lionel never saw before. He was focused on the screen playing NBA Slams, a video game Lionel often played in Dontrell's basement.
What up, Andre? Said Jamar as they walked into the living room. This is Lionel, the dude from the car wash I was telling you about. He might come stay with us.
Sup? Andre said, not once looking up from the screen. His fingers busily worked the controller.
Come on, Lionel. I'll show you where you can crash.
Lionel followed him down a scuffed hallway to a sparse bedroom that smelled even more strongly of weed. A single mattress rested on the floor in the far corner. A gray cat was curled up in the middle of the bed, but it jumped when they walked in.
That's smoke, Jamar said as the cat scurried away.
Unfolded clothes were scattered at the foot of the bed, though Jamar quickly scooped them up into a crumpled pile as Lionel walked around the room. A black plastic table was wedged against the mattress. On top of it was a clock radio, a cell phone charger, a short stack of magazines, and some loose change. There was also a single photograph. Lionel could see the faded image of a woman sitting on a swing holding a child on her lap.
You'd share this room with me. Only $25 a week. I'm hooking you up big time, Jamar said.
Lionel nodded. He didn't know what to say. He could afford the rent if he kept working at the car wash. But did he want to live there? The house was an escape from school, but it wasn't much more.
I don't know, Jamar. Come on, bro, I ain't saying this place is perfect, but you can do anything you want up in here, Jamar said, an edge to his voice. Ain't no one gonna bother you no more about school or class or nothing.
Lionel thought Jamar was being pushy, but he didn't want to say that. Instead, he changed the subject.
Who's in the picture? He asked.
Oh, that's me and my mom from back in the day, Jamar said, staring at the photo for several long seconds. Ancient history.
Lionel waited for Jamar to say more, but he didn't. Instead, he sighed and fished through his pile of laundry. Then he leaned over and grabbed at something under his mattress. "You want to get high?" he said then, opening up a small plastic bag filled with what looked like crushed, dried leaves. Lionel tried to hide his surprise. It wasn't the first time someone offered him drugs, but he hadn't expected it from Jamar. Lionel had heard the countless warnings from his parents all his life. Officer Hodden explained how drugs could slow his brain function, meaning that Lionel's basketball skills would suffer. Lionel wanted no part of that. Besides, drugs were a line he'd promised Mom long ago he'd never cross. He wasn't about to break that promise now.
"Nah, man," Lionel replied, pretending to notice the clock. "Yo, I gotta get going. I told my dad I'd be back soon."
"So you gonna come stay here or what? We could use a roommate for the rent and all," Jamar said, gently cradling the plastic bag in his palm as if it was precious.
Lionel's head was spinning again. There were just too many choices, too many decisions to make. It was like a rebound he couldn't predict.
"I gotta think about it," Lionel said, stepping into the hallway. "I'll get back to you."
"All right, but don't think about it too long," Jamar said, following him back into the living room where Andre was still gazing at the TV screen, the rap music pounding in the air.
"Like a jet, I soar right by you. You play forward, but I rewind you. You step up, but I don't mind you, because my skills take me higher."
The player on the screen muscled through two defenders, leaped forward, did an impossible 360-degree spin, and dunked the ball through the hoop.
"You see that?" Andre boomed, pointing to the screen. "Yo, Jamar, you know you can't do that."
"Neither can you, not in real life,"
Lionel thought to himself as he stepped back into the ruined yard, more alone and confused than ever. It was almost dark by the time Lionel reached Cypress Street. The corner lot across from Discount Liquors was crowded as Lionel rushed past, careful to ignore the many eyes that watched him. He spotted his father standing at the front door as he neared the house.
"Lionel, where you been? You were supposed to be home an hour ago. I was about to start looking for you," his father said, eyeing him up and down as if he was inspecting him for damage. "You know these streets ain't safe at night."
"Relax, Dad. I just worked a little late, that's all,"
Lionel lied. There was no way he could explain to his father that he was thinking about quitting school and moving out. Lionel wondered if the smell of marijuana smoke was still on his clothes as he walked up the steps.
"Everything okay with you? School's going all right? Your lip looks a little swollen," his father said.
He was always the same after his trips, full of questions as if he was trying to make up for being away for days at a time. But Lionel knew the attention wouldn't last. Dad would soon be back on the road and forget most of what they talked about. Lionel had seen it all 100 times, especially about school.
"Yeah, everything's fine, Dad. I just bumped myself playing basketball. No big deal."
"I'm glad to hear you're spending less time on the court and more time on school. Miss Walker tells me you started reading Langston Hughes. I saw your English book on the table," his father said with a smile.
Lionel cringed. He'd forgotten about the letter from Mrs. Henley. It was folded inside his textbook. Lionel glanced and saw that the book was still sitting unopened where he left it, just inches from his father. He could also see the envelope sticking out between the pages.
"Yeah, I have a little homework to do," Lionel said, reaching over and grabbing the book from the table.
He was careful not to move too fast.
"I guess you're finally starting to take school seriously," Dad beamed.
Lionel shrugged.
"I guess."
"That's the best news I heard all week, maybe all year," his father said, putting a hand on his shoulder.
Lionel squirmed inside at his touch. He felt guilty lying to his father's face, and yet he was angry at how clueless Dad was.
"It ain't no big thing, Dad. All I did was bring a book home."
"But you never bring books home,"
interrupted Kendra, coming out of the kitchen with a glass of soda.
"I'm the only one that does homework around here," she added.
"Not anymore," his father replied. "Maybe Lionel will be joining you on the honor roll soon. That's a dream come true."
"Yeah, right," Kendra huffed.
Lionel winced. He imagined telling Dad the truth right there in the middle of the living room.
Dad, I'm sorry, but I ain't never gonna be on no honor roll. I'm thinking of dropping out, but I promise I'll make you proud on the court one day. You'll see.
He pictured Dad's reaction. It would be like those bombs that blew up on roadsides near where Mom was stationed. Only this one would go off in their living room. Lionel could almost hear it ticking while he sat next to Dad. After a few minutes, he couldn't stand it anymore and rushed down the long hallway to his bedroom, closing the door behind him. Beneath the Lakers posters covering his ceiling, Lionel pulled out Mrs. Henley's envelope and carefully tore it open. He scanned the sheet of paper, figuring out the short words and slowly sounding out the longer ones. He hated how his voice almost stuttered as he struggled with certain words, but gradually, in the quiet of his bedroom, he was able to figure out some of what Mrs. Henley wrote.
No effort, little focus, poor work, danger of failure.
At the bottom of the page was a long blank line where his father was to sign. He knew if he let Dad read the letter, he'd be punished. His father would take away the one thing in the world that Lionel cared about, basketball. Lionel couldn't let that happen. He grabbed his notebook and a black pen from his nightstand and practiced writing his father's name. Leroy Shepherd. Lionel knew his own handwriting was messy, and his spelling was so bad that he barely wrote anything in school unless it was his own name or a single word or true or false. It had been just enough to get by in classes he'd been assigned to in middle school, especially when friends were nearby who could help him or let him copy their work. But Lionel had seen how Dad scratched his name on things. His signature was just a wavy scribble. After four tries, Lionel was satisfied that his scribbles looked like Dad's. Then, with his palms sweaty and his moist fingers trembling, Lionel dragged the pen across Mrs. Henley's note. He forged his father's signature.